If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
All right, Saturday morning, we're off and running a co-stream. The Krug Show meets the 49er Rush podcast. Big Saturday, the draft approaching. We're going to talk about what are the Niners' actual needs and maybe some players that are their actual fits. We'll talk a little bit about that. Coming up right now, the Krug Show meets the 49er Rush podcast. Let's go. As you can tell, it's a Saturday morning. I'm still kind of, you know, do you see me a little slower on the take? I mean, I probably could have gone a little smoother there.
Looking sharp, though, Larry. I will give you that, man. Always looking top notch.
Thank you. But you know what? Let's go. Off and running on a Saturday. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig and a Pickle. I had a guy come up to me on the street the other day, and he said, "Krug, what's going on, man?" And then I said, "Hey, what's up?" Gave him the fist in the air. He said, "You love the show." And he walked by, and he's about 35 feet away. And he crosses the street, and on the other side of the street, he goes, "Pig and a Pickle." I'm like, I wish the owner were here. I wish he could see this. Anyway, check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're soon to open in Petaluma. Check out Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Get the brisket. Get the brisket chili. It's all fantastic. You will not be disappointed. Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Also, the Krug Show is now presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports app. That's right. Number one sports picks app is Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or even game outcomes and build your lineup. We'll do it again today. It's available in most states, including California. So if you haven't checked it out yet, use code HMA. When you play $5, you get 50 in lineups instantly. That sounds like a pretty good deal. So thanks to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. All right, we have other sponsors as well. We'll get to them in a bit. We're off and running. I wanted to get to a stream. We've done some mocks. John and I we're mocked out. We're all mocked out. So I thought, let's get into, you know, it seems like there's like a wide debate in 49er needs. Like, and I want to get to like, what is the priority? Which I don't know that we're really even going to get that answer. We're going to have to kind of guess. But John, why don't we start there? I mean, I'll start on offense. I don't think they need a quarterback. I think they need a significant running back who is similar to CMC, in that it's got to be a running back that can catch. It's got to be a running back that has speed. It has to be a running back that can get to the edges. It has to be a running back that allows Kyle Shanahan to have his full array of play calls. He can't be limited in any way when he takes CMC off the field, or if CMC, for whatever reason, is not on the field, for whatever reason. So, number one, they have Jordan James, they have Patrick Taylor, they have Juice, they have CMC. They did not run the ball efficiently last year, largely because of their bad O-line, but also because of their injuries at receiver and tight end. They couldn't get to the edges. They couldn't block it up. They didn't have any dynamic receiver down the field that scared anybody, so they stared at a lot of two shell, and they just couldn't run them out of it. Seattle threw two shell at them twice in 5 weeks or whatever at the end of the year and snuffed them out like a candle both times. So I think they need a significant, and I use the word significant, running back. You don't necessarily need to use a significant pick on them, but I think you need a significant talent there. But I think the key is, if you listen to Kyle, it can't be a Brian Robinson hammer, somebody who's a counter. Though I always felt like, you know, that's kind of what we were looking for. The fire and ice, the, you know, lightning and thunder, the speed and the power, right? I mean, that seems like it would make sense. Shanahan said, hey, you know what? I'd play my second back if he were more like my first back. I don't know that I believe him because he didn't play Guerrero and he's a receiver. He didn't really play Jordan James, but maybe there was rookies, you know, inexperience, injury, lack of confidence on Kyle's part. It sounds like he's ready to invest confidence in another back. And I think this is a draft that has some very good backs that fit them. And I think they need a significant similar CMC.
It's a need. Whenever he comes off the field, everything changes. And it doesn't even matter if you have a good back to replace CMC with. And you heard Kyle talk about this at the owners meeting. Like, he'd be calling a play, and then he'd look up, and CMC's not out there. And he's like, man, I can't run this play now. So getting something to where Kyle Shanahan doesn't feel hamstrung, for lack of a better word, when talking about the 49ers, you've got to adjust your plays. And so there's running backs in this draft class that I really, really like, you know, just as a straight up running back. But then it's like, if they're not great at the receiving realm, is it even worth it? Like, Catron Allen's one of my favorite players in this draft class, the running back from Penn State, more of a thumper role.
He did not run the 40 because he's considered to be very slow.
Yeah, it's just not great hand. Like, his hands are fine, but, like, is that something you want? So, like, I have a much higher grade on Catron Allen, but for the 49ers, I'm just like, man, I don't think so. I'd much rather take somebody like a Jonah Coleman, who can do
UW Huskies. Yeah. 5'9", 220, right?
He's not super fast, not elite acceleration, but he does everything, is elusive, force missed tackles, and probably one of the better receiving backs out of the backfield. And, you know, as we're talking about these needs, Larry, Kyle Shanahan in the running back position, he has invested often, has not gotten the returns on that outside of the CMC trade, probably. This is one of the positions I would not be shocked if it's a round two pick. I would not be shocked if they got one or two running backs, even though they only have six draft choices. I think this is a position that will be targeted pretty heavily by the 49ers.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. And I think you might be right, John. Jadarian Price, I think, is a guy that they really like. That would be a guess on my part. I don't have any sources. But Notre Dame kid, very powerful, very strong, great kick returner. I mean, like, dynamic kick returner. So he could replace Sky Moore and be your second back, but you'd probably have to use your second round pick on him. You know, some of the drafts I've seen, you know, I'll tell you, one of the guys that you liked, and we did a mock a week ago, and I'm like, you know what? I love when we do those mocks because it always kind of gives me an exercise to, hey, John liked this guy, let me go check him out, right? One of the guys that you really dug on last time we did it was Damon Claiborne, which was a tiny little running back from Wake Forest, but he's electric, like electric fast, and he can get to the edge. Now, reading the scouting report in the Bob McGinn anonymous scouting report, I mean, they're like, this guy's a pain in the ass. You know, it's like, you know, there's personality red flags here. And it's like, oh, you know, people won't be able to stand him. But you know what? I kind of think it's a good exercise for NFL teams to draft one player a year where the book says you can't stand the guy, but you just love his talent. Because at the end of the day, that's what you're drafting. You're drafting his talent, I think. And I think you got to stomach through, you know, some, you know, you're not going to love every guy on your team, but you better have talent. You better have 53 talented guys.
Let Bobby Turner, he'll whip them into shape.
Exactly. Bobby T is a tough coach. So I definitely, and we can go through, we'll go through the needs and then we'll go fill them. But I would say that, you know, significant running back who's similar to CMC, one offensive starting need. I think another primary offensive starting need is a starting left guard. You know, I even though they have other candidates there, they kind of reference that they're going to look for somebody else in the draft, most likely to be their starting left guard, or at least to compete for that starting left guard. Then I think they need an all-around tight end. I think they're really quite barren at the tight end spot. That usually is a spot what you might consider a veteran there, and there might be some veterans who get or cap casualties after the draft. So that might add to the free agent market a little bit. It's not an awesome tight end class, and I went through it last night, and there's a few guys, but it's not great. But I think they need an all-around tight end, somebody who can block and catch, not just block, but somebody who can do both.
And then if you had to prioritize one of those traits for the tight end class for the 49ers, which one do you think would be more valuable? Because this is something I keep going back to. Is it the receiving option, or does, you know, signing Los Gatos to 2 years kind of alleviate that? Is it the blocking? Like, because I keep getting stuck at this at the tight end position for the Niners.
It literally is, John, the ability to do both, because you have to have a guy out there. Like right now, if you roll Tonjes out there, they're like, oh, you know what? Let's cover him out of the backfield. But also, if he's going to block, let's overload his side and roll over him, because he's underpowered and can't handle it. So I think he represents a liability as a blocker and a threat as a receiver. And then the other guy, I think, is just not very good. I'm not a big Luke Farrell fan. I didn't think his blocking was that great. He's really not a receiver. He's not a run after the catch guy. So I don't know. It's a good question. I think it's harder to find the receiver that can contribute than it is the blocker, because you can always get some super athletic offensive tackle who's a little undersized and just say, hey, you know what? You're a tight end now. And there seems like they'll always be a day three undrafted free agent tight end. But I will say this, the tight end position, and I'm glad we brought this up, the tight end position is pretty interesting. The Bob McGinn scouting reports were really interesting, because the article about the tight end spot, 2005 at the combine, there were 41 wide receivers, 35 running backs, and 14 tight ends, 2005. The combine this year, 46 wide receivers, 21 running backs, 27 tight ends. There's almost double the number of tight ends. One of the scouts said the position's exploding without a doubt. The number of multiple tight ends on the best teams in the league is incredible. They're being used 3, 4, 5 per team. They're getting significant playing time. They play on an edge, at a wing, as a fullback. For years, the best offenses were, 21 personnel, 22 personnel. Then it was 3 wides and 11 personnel. Now you're seeing tons of 12 personnel, 2 tight ends, some 13 personnel, 3 tight ends. And one scout said you need 2, and teams have got 3 and 4 on their 53-man roster, and then 2 more on the practice squad. It's just how the game is being played now. They're trying to create mismatches and kind of force you to kind of adapt to the offense. All these extra tight ends. I mean, the record for tight ends in the first round is 3. It's happened 5 times. I think tight end is significant. But like when I went through the prospects, I don't like any of them. I don't like Sadiq. I think he's soft, and I don't like Stowers. I think Stowers is another guy can't block anybody at all. And I just think when you look at this class, there's just a lot of bums. Guys who are stiff, guys that don't catch, guys that don't run. It sounds like Michael Trigg, sounds like a whole circus off the field. But there's Oscar Delp, and then the Ohio State Will Kaczmarek. Those are the 2 guys I like. Kaczmarek is probably the best blocking tight end. Delp is kind of like, I think Delp is George Kittle. George Kittle at Iowa, 48 receptions in 49 games. Oscar Delp at Georgia, 70 receptions in 55 games, 34 starts. I mean, they didn't use Kittle at Iowa, and they didn't use Delp at Georgia, but it didn't mean that Kittle can't play, and I don't think it means that Delp can't play.
Yeah, his athleticism, Oscar Delp, like, he goes out there, runs a 4.4, and like, you just see it. And so a lot of it, too, is you've got to look at, they had Branch, their tiny slot wide receiver, whatever else. So Georgia adapted their entire offense to, man, we're going to put Oscar Delp in the Darryl Washington role, which is basically we're going to use him as an extra offensive tackle. And just because they never used him in the receiving mode doesn't mean it's not there. If you look at the yards after catch per reception, he's got the best in the class. It's a very small sample size, but this is a guy that got almost 8 yards after the catch as a tight end, which is elite. That's great for a wide receiver, let alone a tight end. So a little bit more projection there, but tight end is one of the most difficult positions to transition from college to the NFL. It is so difficult. And, you know, I go back to my coaching, whatever, like I always used to say, you know, offensively, if you can coach O-line, if you can coach quarterbacks or tight ends, then you have a future as a coordinator or a head coach. Like if you don't coach one of those three positions, you're not getting promoted. It's great if you're running back coach or even a wide receiver coach, you're not getting promoted. Those are the difficult because you've got to be in all the run meetings. You got to be in all the pass meetings. You got to know everything. And the transition from college to the NFL is difficult in and of itself. You better be able to block, and you better have some decent athleticism to help your quarterback out in times of need. And Delps, he's one of the top guys in this class. I have a third-round grade on him. There's not a lot of top-tier guys, but he's my tight end four. And I think the only way the 49ers would have a shot on him, Krug, is if you took him in the second round, because you don't have a third-round pick. I think second round's too early for him. But if you want to get that guy, you got to go early. I think the fourth round is probably going to be a spot for tight ends because there's just not top-heavy guys. But Oscar Delp's going to be a damn good football player. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. Life's a journey. Some days feel good, others feel overwhelming. Whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you have to figure it out all on your own. But the truth is, no one has all the answers and no journey should be alone. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, and support you can make all the difference in the world. And BetterHelp does all the initial matchmaking work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs, preferences, and with over 12 plus years experience in this industry, their match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. Also, with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for a live session. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and if you don't have to be on this journey alone, find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
No doubt. And, you know, it's funny. Draft Tech lists him at pick number 223. I bet you he goes 100 picks in front of that.
At least. I don't think there's a way he's not on the board for day three at the start. He's gone. He's just too clean.
Yeah, no, there's too much speed there. There's too much big playability. So that's what I have at offense. Significant running back who's similar to CMC, starting left guard, an all-around tight end. Those three for sure. And then I think you may need one wide receiver. And I say one wide receiver because Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, Christian Kirk, Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, DeMarcus Robinson, that's six right there. Some teams keep five. That doesn't count for Malik Turner, who's a special teamer, Junior Bergen, Colton Dowell, or anybody they draft or sign. So I kind of feel like they could use like one receiver, and that receiver could either be a vertical threat, because you don't know about Cowing and Watkins, and what if those guys are nothing and you don't have vertical threats again and you don't have speed, or it could be a gadget guy because you don't have a Debo and you have some vertical threats and you have the chain mover in Evans, but you don't have that gadget guy. But I think they need one receiver. And then I think if you're the other need, which I don't know if it's a need, you know, future left tackle, you know, I would put that as the fifth offensive need. I think the other needs are in front of that. I don't think they have to get it in this draft, but it would be nice if they did. So those are my five offensive needs. On defense, I have edge rusher, one linebacker, a significant player at free safety, maybe another corner, definitely one more D lineman, either a situational rusher or a pass rushing defensive tackle, or some combination thereof. So I've got basically 11 needs, you know, running back, guard, tight end, receiver, left tackle, edge, linebacker, free safety, corner, situational rusher, and maybe pass rushing defensive tackle. And somewhere in there, you probably got to get one of those guys has got to be a kick returner. So that's kind of how I see their needs. How do you see their needs? I mean, what would you say is the, if I said, 1, 2, 3 top priorities, or do you feel like, you know, not every year is there like a pronounced priority. Sometimes it's just like, hey, you know what? We'd rather find this, but we're going to go best player available. What do you view as is there anything that you go into the draft going, it's absolutely urgent?
Yeah, I think edge speed rusher, pass rush specialist. I think wide receiver. I understand that you have your veteran approach through free agency, but long term, and you saw the free agency market, what it costs for an X wide receiver, an outside wide receiver in today's NFL is astronomical. I mean, it's approaching quarterback level prices. And so I think that is a dramatic thing. How long is Mike Evans going to be around? What that looks like. And then running back. Tight end would be number four for me. So I would go edge rusher, wide receiver, running back, and tight end. Those are kind of the clear four. Niners only have six draft picks, Larry. Six.
Yeah, that was my next point. Every mock that I've done, when you factor in what they've done in free agency and then you give them six picks, they always are three or four picks shy, or three or four needs shy. And maybe they can find one or two, one or two guys as in the undrafted market, you know, but it's going to be difficult. It's hard to lean on. So all I would say is in my ideal scenario, they're probably trading down in the first round and maybe even the second round to see if that you could add, you know, just by maneuvering around, not necessarily by trading any veterans or trading anything significant, but just by moving around the board a little bit. John Schneider does this expertly. He always moves from the back of the first round into the top of the second, into the middle of the second, and then he winds up getting a Nick Emanwori in the second, you know, and it's like, whoa, he got a first round talent and he traded back. So I think that's kind of the approach I would try to take is, you know, maybe try to trade back a couple spots if you can. I don't think it's going to be easy, but maybe with the Cardinals wanting to come up for Ty Simpson in round one, maybe there's an ability to move back a few spots. But if you could and add two or three more spots, I'm far more satisfied with the mocks when I see that the Niners have 9 or 10 as opposed to six.
The question is, who's going to trade up? You got to have a partner to dance with.
And right. This maybe Arizona.
maybe, yeah, like, and I'm fine trading back with Arizona to get them a quarterback. Let's say Ty Simpson or Nussmeier, you know, they're in love with one of those guys. Yeah, like, I have no problem with that. You just got to have somebody to dance with. And this whole draft is kind of like a what if draft. Not that there's not going to be great, significant players that are Pro Bowl, all pro caliber players, but somebody's got to want to come up. And right now you're already starting to get rumors of the Cardinals at 3 talking about trading down. And all these teams are like, look, we're trying to trade back. You got to have somebody that wants to jump up there. And yeah, in an ideal world, the 49ers don't even use the fifth-year option anyway. Go ahead, trade back, get more picks. That would be ideal. I really hope they can finagle it. You know, last year they didn't, and then the team right behind them traded back. And so it was like, man, you had the offer on the table. You didn't take it last 2 years. You can go back to the Ricky Pearsall deal. Like, what's Ricky Pearsall? Good pick. If he could stay healthy, he's proved he could fit the scheme and the system, and he's a fit with Brock. Just got to stay healthy. But the team right behind you traded down. And so the 49ers have been one of those teams lately. John Lynch has even said, we kind of like staying put and just taking guys whenever we're on the board and just trusting our board there. Need some more picks, though.
No doubt. They need some more picks. So let's try to do what we can do in the next half hour and just fill some of these needs. And we're going to try to fill them creatively, not just always, hey, they need an edge rusher. Who's the best edge rusher? You know, give them. Let's try to think about it and look for fits. Now, let's start with running back. I think they need a significant running back because McCaffrey, you know, this is a running football team. And everything's got to be, you know, comes off of McCaffrey. He's used a ton. They need a significant back. Shanahan made it seem like if he had a back that had similar skill sets that they would have gone to him. They didn't have that. They didn't go to him. They're going to need another back. I don't think it's a day one thing at all. I don't even think it's necessarily a day two thing for the 49ers. There could be, right? A Jadarian Price would be your day two option.
Not Mike Washington. I hope not Mike Washington.
Yeah, Mike Washington I do like, but he has fumbled 10 times in his career. That's a lot of fumbles.
And he has poor vision. But he's like an Isaac Garrido clone, just upskilled. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I get scared there because it's like, the reason why they love Garrido, would they love this?
This guy's better than Garrido, but I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, there's Jonah Coleman, there's Emmett Johnson. You mentioned Catron Allen, Seth McGowan, Damond Claiborne, Nick Singleton. There's a bunch of guys, Jamari Taylor they met with. But I'll tell you, I stumbled onto a guy yesterday that I've liked a lot throughout the year. But, man, I stumbled onto his pro day, and it's Jamal Haynes, the running back from Georgia Tech. And I stumbled onto this kid's pro day and started reading his bio. And the more I'm reading about him, the more I'm watching him, the more I'm thinking, you know what? This could be the Niners guy. He's a 5'9", 195-pound back, but he's just put on, they said he put on like 15 pounds of muscle before the pro day. He ran 4.51, which is totally pedestrian, right? It's like middle of the road time. 4.51 doesn't move the needle. But the 20-yard shuttle is what the scouts look at, and it was 4.25, and it would have been the fastest of any running back that went to the combine this year. Okay, so this guy is shot out of a cannon. He's a great athlete. He's from Logansville, Georgia. Georgia produces some of the greatest high school talent.
I've been to Logansville a few times.
He was a three-star high school talent. He led his high school team to the state title his senior year. They went 14-0. Okay. As I said, he would have had the fastest shuttle of any running back at the combine. He had a 36-inch vertical, sixth best of any running back in Indy. He's got elite agility and balance. He had 21 reps of 225. This guy is very, very strong. 531 career rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, 124 carries, 33 receptions for 250 yards. Durable. This guy played every single game all year long. He was a receiver who used to be a receiver who's transitioned well to running back. So he's a natural receiver. He's lightning quick. He's first step acceleration. Super competitive kid. Deceptive power. He's a return guy. He plays special teams. He begged to be on the kickoff return unit, even though he was their starting running back. This guy's on the punt. He's a gunner on the punt team. I mean, it's got unbelievable. He's a natural receiver. He made a nice transition from wide receiver to running back. Very productive over the last 3 years. You know, like at least 300 or 400 yard games in each year of the last three. This guy, to me, he's probably going to be undrafted. He might be there in the seventh round. He's not going to cost you hardly anything. Jamal Haynes, the combination of the strength, the speed, the production, the receiver history in his past. I love this player. He's got great contact balance. He really lit it up at the Georgia Tech Pro Day. Lots of stories about how impressive this kid looked. I love to cherry pick the athletes from Georgia because they're the best in the country. And I love this kid. He's just, to me, this would be a fantastic undrafted free agent, seventh round pick. You bring this guy in with Jordan James. I think Jamal Haynes would be a very cost-effective way to fill that running back spot with a guy who can catch it.
Yeah. He's explosive. You talked about the receiving background where he transitioned into running back, and you talked about like the short area quickness. Dude ran a 1.45 10-yard burst. That's like one of the best in the combine, if it would have been at the combine, but he did at the pro day. Georgia kind of inflates their numbers some, but he's still a freak athlete.
Here he is, by the way. Here's some video on him.
The question is, he's tiny, and you see that right off the jump. Like, he is, you're talking about somebody at 5'9", 190. And so the under 6 foot, under 200 pound, you miss both those, and that's why he will fall. He doesn't have the dynamic traits of a first, second, third, fourth round running back. But he's had over 20 meetings with NFL teams because of special teams, because of what he can do in the receiving game. Worst case, this is a third down back that can return kicks and help out in that situation, that third down specialist role. You could definitely use him in that way. So, yeah, I think Jamal Haynes, he's a fun write-up.
He's very
shifty.
He's
just tiny. He's just tiny.
Yeah, he's a small back for sure. But, man, he is, you know, the other guy that I really think is a good fit for Krug loves those Georgia peaches. the other guy that I think is a great fit for the Niners is Jam Miller for Alabama. Why? Well, he didn't run behind a great line this year. He didn't have a great year. But this guy's 220 pounds. He might be the best blocking back in the draft. I saw this guy stonewall some blitzers where he's just launching their helmet. I mean, he blocked somebody's helmet right off of them in the Georgia game. He will stone you in the backfield. He's only fumbled once, I believe, in his entire college career. To me, Shanahan wants guys who have some speed. He's got speed. He wants guys. I mean, Bobby T's going to demand, if you're out there, that you have to be able to pass protect like a mother, and you got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. You got to have some wiggle to get to the edge, and you can't fumble the ball. And I think Jam Miller, you know, hits all those boxes. Now, I think he is another guy, fourth round. I mean, you're not taking him early. He might be even late round. He might be a undrafted guy. He's coming off a kind of a disappointing year. It's a loaded position. By the way, running back is totally gone the other way. I mentioned how tight end is exploding. Running back is like, you know, they're basically they're saying it's not a great group. 6 years ago, 11 running backs were chosen in the top 100. Since then, 4 in 2021, 6 in 2022, 7 in 2023, 4 in 2024, 6 last year.
So it's not going to be that many this year. It's a low class.
Yeah, they're devalued for sure. And there's a lot of these guys, like I've seen mocks where the guy you like, Damon Claiborne, is there in the seventh round. I saw a mock yesterday where Emmett Johnson from Nebraska was there in the sixth round. So it's not a classic great group, but I do like Jam Miller maybe on day three, and I like Jamal Haynes as an undrafted guy. And I don't think that you necessarily have to invest a high pick in a running back.
Yeah, and the one thing that I want to add on Jam Miller, the running back from Alabama, like, you started this off talking about receiving, right? You've got to have somebody that can help in the receiving game. Jam Miller can do that, but not the same way CMC does. He does it by protecting Brock. You remember whenever CMC was hurt and Kyle Juszczyk was the 49ers' third down running back? Because he could protect and he could catch the ball. There was no shake or whatever else to what he brought, but it was consistent. Jam Miller can help in pass pro. And so is he your dynamic, you know, Jamal Haynes guy that's going to catch the ball in space and do some crazy stuff with it? No, he's serviceable there, but he's going to keep Brock protected. He'll step up in the A gap, service out to the B and C gap, you know, and help with the, you know, the pass protection. So just because he doesn't have the receiving stats or the receiving grade doesn't mean he can't be a receiving back in the sense that you put him up there and max protect and help keep Brock Purdy upright. So
yeah,
it's a different flavor of addressing the receiving option from a running back position, but Jam Miller still checks that box.
All right. The next one is guard. And I think it's interesting because Mayoko the other day tweeted out just a straight one line tweet. The 49ers will not take an offensive lineman until the fourth round. And then he came back a couple days later and said, well, they may take a guard maybe in day one. What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. You just tweeted they're not going to take an offensive lineman until the fourth round. And here you are 2 days later saying they may take a guard in the first round. Is that
did he get some pushback?
Did he get struck by lightning on the treadmill? I mean, what happened? Why the sudden reversal? Or is it possible that somebody called and said, hey, Matt, you'd probably look a little better if you said this? I think there is a high percentage chance that the Niners go guard in round one. Now, I think they would love Venga Iwane to fall to them. I don't think he's going to fall to them. But the question is, if he falls past 20, would they trade up and get him? I think he's worthy of trading up for. I think he's that good. Some of the scouting reports think he's just pretty good, not great. But in reading the reports on the guards, and I read all of the reports top to bottom, there's issues with a lot of these guys. And to me, the cleaner guys, like Jalen Farmer's got all kinds of issues off the field. And Keelan, and I really love his film, but he supposedly has issues off the field. Keelan Rutledge, you know, is a brawler, tough guy, but there's some athletic limitations there. Emmanuel Pregnon, I mean, the report is awful. I mean, it made him sound awful. I mean, I could read you some of it. It's unbelievable. Just give you a couple quotes on here. He's a steady Eddie. Okay. Solid pro player, no star recruit. He's a little bit soft. He's on the ground a little bit. You wish he was a little bit more of a competitive player with better effort. He'll fall off of run blocks sometimes. He's not real nasty. He's pretty good. Good pass protector, good wide base, good hands. It's like at the end of the day, you say, okay, this guy's probably a low-level starter. They like his body, but they're like, hey, more of a gap scheme guy, strictly a guard only. They're not crazy about him.
It was one of the worst testing for any offensive lineman out there. Now the question is, can you overcome that at the guard spot? And I think you can. We've seen some of that. Tyler Booker last year, right? Like, tested horribly, whatever, still goes in the first round, started, you know, had a pretty good season. But yeah, there's nothing sexy about Emmanuel Pregnon.
No, I would say that the plan here, though, is hang out, see if Venga falls. If he does, maybe a trade up. I would consider trading up
for a guard.
I know. I don't love it, but I do love this player. I do think he is
awesome.
I think he's the key to running the ball, you know, so. But I got to be honest, if they stay where they're at, I really think they're going to take Chase Bisantis, the A&M guard. I really think he's nasty. He's ready to play. You know, he's plug and
play. I saw
your
comment that he was one of your dark horses for at pick 27. So let's unpack this a little bit, Larry, because my question is position kind of value. The 49ers have not really valued the guard position. They drafted Aaron Banks, you know, in the second round after trading back. Do you think the 49ers would value that position enough to spend a first-round pick on left guard?
I think they want to invest in their offensive line. And I think that, you know, this guy started at left guard this year for A&M, 10 games. I think when they go start going through the film, I think they're going to say, you know what, Besantis in round one. Now, I think they're probably going to choose Cassius Howell or the edge rusher over the guard when they really get into the hard conversation. But I would bet almost anything that Chase Besantis is absolutely at the top of their list, and because he is ready to roll. And then the question is, do you go with Besantis in the first round? Or I'll tell you, the other guy that I really love, the more I read the reports, is Jennings Dunker in round two as a guard. I don't love him as a tackle, but I do think he's got a lot of potential as a guard. I love the upside potential of Jennings Dunker. I think he's one of the few tackles that really can play guard. I don't know if he can play tackle, but I think he can play guard. So the question I would have is, the way I would attack this position is Besantis in round one, Dunker in round two, or I would put it off to round three or to day three. And I like Micah Morris from Georgia, and I like that the Oklahoma kid, Wee Woo. And he's got 34-inch arms.
Fabechi
Wee Woo. Yeah, I really like Fabechi Wee Woo. I would definitely use one of my fourth round picks on Wee Woo. And if Wee Woo wasn't there, I might use my last, I might trade back in the fourth round for a couple extra picks and see if I could get Micah Morris. I think Micah Morris from Georgia could be a steal in this draft. 6'5", 330, and he tested great. His testing was amazing. He played in the top conference. His film is rough. I mean, he's all over the place. There's good plays, there's bad plays, but I mean, the prospect is a great prospect as far as big, wide, good feet, athletic. I mean, if you want to hand a prospect to Firster and say, polish him up, Micah Morris you could do worse than Micah Morris.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I do want to just put on there about Besantis, when you watch him, one of my favorite things is he has that Trent Williams clean jerk move where, like, you pull the player down on his face, where, like, you post him up high and then you grab, like, the front of his jersey and just kind of, like, clean it down. He's got about, you know, 15 snaps over the past, you know, year and a half where he's just putting dudes face down in the dirt. So you see a lot of the kind of upside there.
Short arms, though. I mean,
very short.
He's got short arm, 31 and a quarter. So, I mean, one scout said he's a starter. I had a mental note on him that was a little bit of a concern. 4-star recruit from Ramsey, New Jersey. He's really good, a third scout said. He's powerful. I think he's a rookie starter, probably second round. He could be the best guard. He's big. He's nasty. Yeah. I like him. The short arms thing, to me, limits his upside. And to me, looking at Wee Woo and Micah Morris and knowing that those guys are going to be on the board in day three makes me want to go edge over Besantis. But I really do think that it could be a gigantic A&M debate. You know, KC Concepcion, Cassius Howell, Chase Besantis. Who do you want? And as somebody who watched A&M, I'd go with Howell.
Dude, I'm so tired of watching that offense. I hate that offensive scheme so much, but there's just so much talent. There's so much talent there. If you had a quarterback that was, you know, dynamic in the pass game, probably would have been a different story this year. But the one guy I do want to throw out there that we haven't talked about yet, offensive guard, I think you play all three spots on the inside, Michigan State, Matt Goldman, another short arm guy, you know, 31-inch arms. But he's played left guard, center, right guard, and he is just your
brawler.
Jack of all trades, consistent in the run game, consistent in pass pro, mean, latches on, better tape than an athlete. So I think this is a fourth round guy. So if you do wait, I think Matt Goldman, Michigan State, is another guy that I think is going to be on the 49ers radar pretty consistently. He's played a lot of football.
What's his best spot? Is he's a center, right?
I think you probably going to fall inside the center, but he's that Matt Hennessy type where he's played left guard and right guard. And because he's 6'4", he's got the length. I know his arm length isn't there. So I think that that's one of those things that he can do. And he has that short quickness adjustment. So the stunts at the guard position, and he can anchor. The difference between a guard and a center in my evaluation, you tell me where you would disagree. Guards get more one-on-one blocks, especially in pass pro. So you have to anchor against a three tech consistently one-on-one. Center is almost always getting help from a guard. Matt Golban is a guy that I think anchors well enough and has the size to be able to anchor in a one-on-one matchup versus NFL defensive tackles. Center's probably his best spot, but he could play guard. And the Niners love those inside versatility guys. And with him being 6'4", he has the length. He has the anchor that I like.
His film is good.
Yeah,
his film is good. He's tough. He's nasty. This guy, he's smart too. He went to Wake. He's already graduated from Wake with a degree in communications. And you know, this is a really good football player. You know, I think there's a lot to like here. This is team captain in high school. You know, really, really solid football player who's a good positional blocker. There's been some injuries there, I think, that you have to look.
Yeah, undisclosed injuries. Like, you know, I go through and I, you know, tear through. We grade 200 players, and I've tried to do a deep dive on every. You can't find what injuries they are. He missed some time in 2025. He missed one game with an undisclosed injury and was held out of combine drills, but then he worked out at the pro day. So, like, undisclosed injury. Like, that's the new MO where certain schools – just are not putting out publicly what these injuries are if it's not obvious. So each team's going to have their own medical check on that. But he did the pro day, and he's played a lot of football. He's got over 2,300 snaps. He's even taking snaps at right tackle.
You know, let's get to tight end, because I think tight end is another spot where there's been so little talk about this. This is an absolutely crucial spot for the Niners. I mean, Purdy, you know, loves to throw the in cutters. He loves the intermediate. He threw it a ton to Kohler at Iowa State. He's thrown it a ton to Kittle. They're not going to have Kittle, I would imagine. Is there a they need kind of an all around tight end? They may need to actually add multiple players at this position. I would say they're probably good for maybe one pick, maybe in the fourth round. I don't think they'll take a high pick on a tight end, but I also think there's an undrafted free agent likely coming in here. Who's your tight end? Who give me somebody who's going to fill that need.
Yeah, the tight end's rough. Sam Roush is probably getting a lot of love, and rightfully so. I think he's that third round, early fourth round. If he falls to the fourth round, that'd be great. Second round's too rich for him, but he's kind of your do-it-all guy. Jack Injuries, I'm going to keep saying that name for Texas because he just...
Bay Area guy, right? Isn't he from here?
Yeah, he played at Cal and then transferred out to Texas. And just your jack-of-all-trades guy that doesn't have the traits or the testing or the explosiveness to bump him up into day two. He's a fourth round tight end that just... These are the types of guys where you're just like, all right, is this going to be a Pro Bowl player? No. But is this guy that's going to make our roster and help us be able to play both the tight end spots? The Niners have the blocking, all-purpose, extra offensive tackle spot, and then they've got the move tight end spot. I think he could play both, but he would be the long-term answer for replacing Luke Farrell, which I think a lot of 49ers fans would like to hear.
Yeah, I'm. You know, I like the two SMU kids. I love RJ Maryland, Russell Maryland's kid, and I love the other guy, Hibner. It's not a great tight end class, in my opinion. But I'll tell you the guy that I think's a total steal based on where he's listed. And, you know, first of all, I told you I like the Ohio State guy, Kack Merrick. He's a really good blocker. I don't think he's much of a receiver. But if you're looking for just a day three hammerhead blocker, I like him. If you're looking for that day three receiver, I like RJ Maryland. But to me, the guy who I think is a real sleeper, and we're starting to see this kind of trend more and more, the big school sleeper. And it's like, well, how do you become a sleeper at Alabama? How do you become a sleeper at Georgia? But this is the deal. They recruit so damn well there that they just stack them, pack them, and rack them. It's like there's all kinds of guys just sitting around at those schools that would be superstars at UC Davis. They'd be epic stars if they went to Troy State. But instead, they're the fourth tight end at Georgia. They're the third tight end at LSU. They're the sixth tight end. You know what I mean? And then you look up, you're like, whoa, what the heck? What is this? You know, these. And I really like Bauer Sharp from LSU. LSU gets great recruits. This guy is 6'5", 250. He's a good-looking athlete. He's from Dothan, Alabama, and he's just versatile. He played 1 year at LSU. He had a stop at Southeast Louisiana in 21, 22, 23. He also played at Oklahoma. So this guy's, you know, this guy's on his third college. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy with good size, pretty good strength in line, but he's also got
athleticism's off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got athleticism and hands, and the guy played tight end and wildcat quarterback at Southeast Louisiana, so you could use him on gadget plays. I mean, if you watch this guy, this is a pretty good athlete at 6'5", 250. I mean, LSU just has just guys, just awesome players. This guy was at Cal. This guy would have been like third team all conference. Yeah. Instead, at LSU, he's just like, oh, well, yeah, there's Bauer Sharp over there. And he's probably not going to get drafted, or he might be a seventh round guy. To me, Bauer Sharp as an undrafted free agent could be a great pickup.
My player comp for him in athletic profile is Charlie Warner. They're almost identical with height, weight, 40, all those things. So a better athlete than you're probably going to give him credit for, because he didn't have the production. That's the question mark, right? Like, all right, you're a freak athlete. You have the size. You have all these things. Why haven't you done it yet?
Right.
Those guys fall. And so potential just means you haven't done it yet. He has potential. The NFL takes players like this in day three and later. And so I do think that he will fall. But you look at the body and the way he's built and the athletic profile, and you're like, okay, this translates to the next level. And in a weird tight end class, there's not a lot of these guys that are 6'5 plus positive athletes like Bauer Sharp is. So, yeah, I think he deserves a spot where late of the sixth, you know, seventh. Can he make it all the way to UDFA? I doubt it. But if he does, you better spend some money on it. I just hope the Niners spend some money on this undrafted free agent class. They've kind of been reluctant to do that lately, but seriously, I hope they open up the checkbook a little bit.
Be in the top five in undrafted free agent spending. In fact, that's got to be, that's going to be one of my questions. That's going to be one of my questions, you know, in the presser before the draft, because here's the thing. Those draft pressers are torture, right? Because we can't really ask anything and they can't really answer anything, right? It becomes a gigantic exercise in futility, but, I think it is a good question to be like, hey, you guys have been very, very good in the undrafted market, and you were 26th in undrafted free agent spending last year. Why? Why? And can you assure the fans that you're going to be a significant player in the undrafted free agent market? It's obviously a very profitable market. You found Aziz there. You've almost found Purdy there. By the way, Bauer Sharp was initially an FCS quarterback commit. Then he went to Oklahoma. He led them in receptions and yards. Really a good-looking athlete. To me, that would be a very, very nice pick. All right. Wide receiver. What is the need at wide receiver? The Niners have a lot of wide receivers. So it's not like they can just be like, just take a bunch of guys. No, they don't have a bunch of spots. And they really do need a complementary piece to Mike Evans and the receivers that they have on their roster. So what do you want to see at the wide receiver spot? You want to see a day one receiver? You want to see a day two receiver? Or do you want to see a day three receiver or an undrafted receiver? What do you think?
I think that the free agency market has affected my evaluation of the wide receiver position because it's just stupid. Alec Pierce getting $30+ million a year, like, it's just gone bananas. And so I don't want to pay wide receivers top of the market money ever again. I just do not see that as a foundational way to build, unless you have a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, somebody elite, not a Brandon Ayuk. I was against that before, after, during, whatever. So I do want X wide receivers drafted. And this draft is loaded with that outside, deep stretch, vertical, whatever. They've met with Denzel Boston in the first round. If he's there, I would love that pick. I think I would prefer an edge rusher, but I would not be upset because I don't want to pay that X position. Now, the good news is second round, Chris Brazel the second. I would love him. You get down to the third round, you could talk Ted Hurst, who you're a big fan of. Fourth round, third, Bryce Lance. You can go Eric McAllister, Dejon Stribling.
there are so many quality wide receivers that I think in my top 50, I'm going to have 11 wide receivers in my top 50. And I'm like, dude, this is insane. And then I heard like Dane Brugler, he has, I think, 12 in his top 50. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not that far off. But wide receivers, I do not believe in paying second contracts to wide receivers unless they are elite. You've got to build through the draft. And I like Jordan Watkins. I really, really do. But he never was able to crack the lineup last year. And you hope that he can do something to excel and maybe win that X role. But I'm spending draft capital on that wide receiver position consistently. Mike Evans and Kirk are huge, but those are short-term fixes to a long-term problem. And Shanahan has spent so much draft capital and salary cap capital on the wide receiver position. I think this is something you got to keep going back to.
You know, to me, I think, you know, I love Ted Hurst, you know, and I'd be okay with Ted Hurst or Chris Bell or Jeremy Bernard or one of those guys in round two. I would be, I wouldn't go receiver in round one. No way. Omar Cooper and those guys. No, but I really think I would just wait till after the draft. I love Dylan Bell from Georgia. I think he's a steal. And I love Cole Wilson from Baylor. I'm gonna share the screen on this kid. This kid is so electric. He lit it up in Waco at the Baylor Pro Day. 38-inch vert. I mean, this guy's amazing. Look at the spin move on this kid. This is a very athletic, small return guy. But he's fast and he's electric. And you could get he's gonna be undrafted. As you can see, small, but I like Cole Wilson and Josh Cameron from Baylor. I like Dylan Bell from Georgia quite a bit. Somebody's like, you like everybody, Krug. No, let's say there's 1,000 guys eligible for the draft. I probably like about 50 to 70, you know, of the players in the draft. I really actually don't like most of them, but yeah, Dylan Bell, Cole Wilson. I think that undrafted free agent market might be really pretty good at receiver.
Deep class, man.
Yeah, there's so many receivers. I mean, I can't go KC Concepcion or Denzel Boston or Omar Cooper, Zachary Branch in round one. But if Chris Bell, Jeremy Bernard, Brazel, Ted Hurst, if those guys are there in round two, I'm interested. But I'm thinking the way I would play this is, Give me a flyer in round three. And I love Dylan Bell from Georgia. I love the other kid from Georgia too, the A&M kid who transferred there, the tall receiver, Noah, whatever, I forget his name, but real tall, Noah Thomas.
There you go. Yeah.
6'5", 6'6". I think he would be he's a really good athlete. I think he would be a nice undrafted guy. But I would play my hand in the undrafted market. Dylan Bell, Cole Wilson, Ra-Ra Thomas, you know, those kinds of guys. Some of those LSU guys, Aaron Anderson.
I want a couple Hilton. Wide receivers. I really do. Yeah. I think if you get anything from Jacob Cowan or Jordan Watkins, great, but I don't want to rely on that. I want healthy competition behind the veteran established guys to try to see what that's going to look like. And just, you know, an iron sharpens iron thing. But man, you'd be willing to trust the undrafted free agents to back up there. That's saying a lot. It's
yeah, because here's the thing. I don't think Shanahan wants to make a significant investment in rookies. I mean, they invested their last two fourth round picks in guys that haven't played at all. So I think in the way Shanahan talked about Christian Kirk and Mike Evans, they have DeMarcus Robinson. I think if they're going to add a receiver, they want a Dylan Bell. They want somebody who's ready to play right now. They don't want somebody who's going to have to coach up. They don't want somebody who's raw. Oh, this guy's, but look at his 40. Screw his 40. All the top receivers run in the 4.5s anyway. It's not about that. So I just think that that's an undrafted free agent type thing. Though I will say your idea last week of maybe Bryce Lance. You know what? The Bryce Lance thing is not that crazy. If you go read the scouting report on him, there's a lot to like. He's got size. He has speed. He's raw. Shifty. He's shifty. But, I mean, Bryce Lance, would there be worse picks than Bryce Lance in the fourth round?
Yeah, and I understand the name and Trey Lance's little brother and all those things. That's fine. But, like, the reason why Trey Lance failed had nothing to do with his character or work ethic. And Bryce Lance has that in spades. John Lynch is on record saying he wants to draft him after he drafted Trey. He was like, dude, this kid, his little brother, is going to be the guy, like, just amazing young man. And that's exactly what he is. So, like, I get, you know, people get upset about that. And I get a lot. Anytime I say Bryce Lance, there's always one or two numbskulls in my mentions or emails calling me an idiot or whatever else. And it's just like, dude, learn about the player, treat them individually. You always hear, don't scout the helmet, don't scout the last name either. And if the positive traits of Trey Lance are there, man, don't be so short-sighted. Disagreements are great, but freaking do some research and figure that out before you go crazy. Just my own little two-bit there. But I do like making people angry sometimes.
We'll just tackle the offense today since we've gone so long, but let's finish with left tackle. How important is it for the 49ers to get a left tackle in this draft? And you know, it's funny. Brad Graham's been pushing hard for Max Iheanacher, and I love what Iheanacher looks like on film, but the scouting reports were horrible on Iheanacher. And I don't know that you could say that he can, that, you know, I wouldn't assume that he could just play left guard, because you need a left guard and he might be your future tackle. I think it might be asking too much to ask this kid who's didn't play high school football, has only played 3 years of football and kind of processes slow, to then step in at guard where everything happens really, really fast and be good. So Iheanacher, to me, it's like, that's one of the big debates to me for the 49ers on draft day are going to come down to an offense, since we're finishing up an offense, is Iheanacher and Jordan Tyson, both from ASU, both enormous talents, both could fall to the 49ers, and yet they took Ricky Pearsall out of ASU 2 years ago. And I can't say, I mean, I'm not satisfied with what they've gotten. I don't know if you are or if they are, but can you go? I mean, literally the scouting report on Jordan Tyson is ASU doesn't build him all that tough, and you better make sure this kid's tough because there's questions. And Iheanacher sounds super raw, but I mean, if you look at the most enticing physical talents that might be available to the 49ers, they need a receiver. They need an offensive tackle, maybe the best receiver and the best talented offensive tackle, both from ASU, might fall to them at 27. And I don't think I would take either.
Tyson, I have a first round grade on, but he's got a medical flag. I mean, a hamstring kept him out of, I think he's at about 7 months currently without, and still not doing everything at the pro day. Like, you've got a knee obliterated a few seasons ago, missed insane time, collarbone. That's not really a long concern, but you've got to be okay with all the injuries. Now, when you watch Jordan Tyson play, you get a lot of holy shit moments. Like, okay, this is exactly what a wide receiver one looks like. And in a wide receiver class where there's not a lot of elite level wide receivers, blue chip type guys, Jordan Tyson is close to that. You just got to be okay with the injuries. I don't think that he makes it down to 27. I do think Max Iheanacher has a chance. Now, Larry, this is a question I want to ask you. Whenever I'm scouting tackles that can play guard, the two things I look for is sudden redirection to stop the stunts on the inside and anchor ability. If a tackle has those two things, then they can play guard, in my opinion.
I would say also body type. Like, you have to have a broad body type. Right. You can't be a linear tackle.
Right. And so, like, Max checks 2.5 of those. The anchor is my one question. I mean, he's 6'5", 320. That fits. He's got the length. He's got the broad shoulders. He's got that. The sudden redirection, he might be one of the best in this class. Like, whenever he shifts on those stunts and all that, that's great.
The scout said that the report I read said that they don't think he's ever going to be a really good pass protector.
See, that's crazy to me. Now, he gets beat to the inside at times, but it's not so much of he didn't recognize or anything like that. You put him in tighter quarters, I think that he's going to have success there. It's the anchor would be my bigger question personally. I think Max could play guard. And I don't think that the 49ers would spend a first round pick on a tackle that couldn't play guard. I really, really don't. So if you're a tackle only,
Monroe Freeling.
I love Monroe Freeland, but I don't know. He's going to be a top 10 player for me in this class just because this class doesn't have top 10 players. And I think if you're a zone team and you need a tackle, he's going to be at worst second. And we've learned three tackles go in the top 10 every single year, regardless of class, regardless of talent. It's just too big of a need in the NFL. So
I think eight could go in the first round.
the Vegas over under is 7.5.
I don't like him. I don't like this class. I really don't. Across the board, don't like it. I think there's a lot of bad picks in there. I think Blake Miller's not bad, but he's a right tackle. You know, the more I look into these guys, the more I like Austin Barber from Florida. I like Isaiah World on day three, J.C. Davis on day three, Markell Bell on day three, Keegan Trost on day three, Emil Wagner on day three, Enrique Cruz on day three. I mean, I like some day three guys.
J.C. Davis is one of my favorite players in this draft, Illinois kid.
Yeah, from McClymonts. He's at McClymonts High School in Oakland, and he's tough, and he's got good footwork. Yeah, I like him a lot. I really like him a lot. And I think
Alex Harkey, Oregon, too. I make sure Niners just met with him, and he was the guy that I was just like, man, this is a Niner through and through. Like, he just fits the profile, the off field, on field versatility, all those things. So yeah, there's a lot of those guys, just not a lot of blue chip guys this year. It's not a bad year to be picking at 27, but the player you're getting at 27 isn't going to be a first round quote unquote lock. I'd say the same thing if you're picking at 20, you're picking at 15. Yeah. That's probably where Jordan Tyson's going to go. And we're like, I don't even know if I want him at 27. Like, that is what this draft class is. Somebody has to go there. Somebody's getting picked.
The most amazing article you guys got to go read is the there's an article out by Bruce Feldman on some of the two most athletic prospects from the camp, the tryout camp in Africa. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that workout was intense.
The guy's name's Uwar. And he's 310 pounds, and he runs in the 3.46s. My God. I mean, I think I might just see if I could acquire an extra seventh round pick, just take a flyer on that guy just to see what he looks like. I can't imagine he could play, but there's a D lineman out of Africa that is just off the charts tester. I mean, off the charts. It's worth reading. Bruce Feldman in The Athletic wrote about him yesterday. All right, that's going to do it for us. Let's thank our sponsors. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out there in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet, family-owned dealership for over 50 years. Go see David Corral. He'll give you a screaming deal. Friendly staff, Bay Area's EV headquarters. They'll take your trade-in even if you don't buy a car from them. Great dealership, family-owned, really, really fantastic. Also, thank you to Habas Law for being one of the title sponsors of the Krug Show as well. We really appreciate Habas Law. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. They do an amazing job. They just handled pet adoptions last weekend down in the South Bay. Also, thank you to Alomar Marina. If you want to dine on the Sacramento River, 5999 Garden Highway. Website is alomarmarina.net. And then, of course, thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. The great Anthony Catania is a great follow on Instagram at Sharp Corners 831 on the gram. Johnny, what do you got cooking the rest of the day, man? You got a big, big Saturday going day before Easter.
Son's got a climbing competition, so I'll be out supporting the kiddo, and then draft work. We're releasing our draft guide Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm hoping Tuesday, but so 200 draft profiles, written background, analytics off the wazoo. It's stupid. We do it every year. So, it's just crunching all these profiles out in film grades. That's what I got today. So good
awesome,
day.
Awesome, man. Tell people if they want to go with you to Australia, how they can go about following you, finding you, and being part of your trip.
Yeah, if you're going to Australia to see that 49ers-Rams game, might as well do it with us and a bunch of 49ers fans. All inclusive. You got your flights, your hotel, your game ticket guaranteed, wine tasting. We're going to the refuge. We're going to the beach, dinners, everything. And what's funny is the NFL just put out a package for several thousand dollars more than we are, and it offers less than half of what we do. So I was very, very proud at how hard our teamwork putting this together. Go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. And you can check in. We have lots of options with flights, without flights. And if you don't want to stay in the hotel, we're staying at the Grand Central Hyatt. You can do your own stuff, go longer and just join us for tailgate and day before rally and all that stuff. We've got a lot of options. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, going to be the trip of a lifetime. I can't wait.
Do not miss a chance to go to another continent. Stephen Niners says, what positions did you two play in football? I didn't play a lot of football, but I played defensive end, tight end. I started as the backup quarterback and worked my way to defensive end, and then tight end. Probably defensive end is what I played the most.
There we go. Yeah, linebacker, tight end here. And I even played some nose guard my senior year when we had some injuries. That was a lot of fun. Probably my favorite position.
Really? Oh, my
God. Yeah, I loved it. It was me and another guy that, you know, I weighed like 190. And it was awesome, man. We just did a bare front. And it was me and another little kind of stout whatever. And we just gave those linemen fits up front. It was fun.
Oh, I love playing defensive end, especially when you just, you know, they barely ever passed in high school football back when I played. It was all running. Stefan says, would you be surprised if we don't draft a receiver? I would not be surprised. I think the plan at receiver is undrafted market. I really do. And then Harold McAllister has a great one here. Says, my draft crushes. Jeremy Bernard, run after the catch monster. Love him. Damon Claiborne equals Raheem Mostert. Love Claiborne. That was John's guy last week. And Jayshon Barham, former Maryland inside backer, who's now an edge rusher. I love Barham, too. He's an undersized guy. I could see Raheem Morris saying, hey, you know what? I'll take Jayshon Barham, especially if he's there in the fourth round.
He's a fit for sure. Perfect fit. That's last, 3 for 3 fits right there.
Yeah, those are some good ones right there. And last one here, Hawaii says, love you, Larry, for coming around on Delp. Told you about him at the start of the draft coverage. You thought, meh. Yeah, no, you're right. I did not see a guy running in the 4.4s. But, you know, that's the thing about Georgia. And once again, you have to take a long look at Georgia, at Bama, at LSU, at every one of their guys, even the guys that don't play, because they recruit 5 stars, and then it's like the 5 stars might not get on the field, but that guy's still a 5-star talent, and he probably could play in the pros. We're seeing that over and over again. Robert Beal did nothing at Georgia, and he just signed with the Dolphins the other day, and he's been in the league for 4 years. So if you have the talent, you know, the league will find you. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to the sponsors. Thanks to all of you. The links in the description for all of our sponsors. Until next time, thanks for tuning in to the Krug Show and the 49er Rush podcast. For Johnny, I'm Larry. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of.